When Jane and I were discussing my sermon, she suggested that I should bring you a word of encouragement from God's word. And I thought that if I told you about 5,005 conversions, then that might be enough encouragement for anyone here. We've already read about the first of these conversions when the crippled beggar at the temple gate called Beautiful was wonderfully healed. And as it says in verse 8, he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Praise the Lord. In order to see 3,000 more conversions, we need to turn back a few verses in Acts to chapter 2, verse 41, when, quote, about 3,000 were added to that number that day. We see a further 2,000 conversions when we move forward to chapter 4, verse 4, when many who heard the message believed, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. Now we read in Acts chapter 2 that at the time of Pentecost, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. That's every nation at that time. And that would have been from the Greco-Roman world situated around the Mediterranean. All the nations were, of course, not present literally, but there would no doubt have been representatives from Caesarea, Antioch, Ephesus, Corinth, and even Rome, among others. A trip from Caesarea to Jerusalem was 60 miles. A trip from Antioch in Turkey, modern-day Turkey, to Jerusalem, 300 miles. From Ephesus in modern-day Turkey to Jerusalem was 600 miles. From Corinth in modern-day Greece to Jerusalem, 800 miles. And from Rome to Jerusalem, 1,400 miles. You could travel 30 miles a day on a donkey. But if you actually walked, it would probably have been about a third of that on foot. So you can see it would have taken a lot of time in those days to travel between any of those places. And I worked out, because I'm an accountant and I'm sad like that, that if that's where you get numbers from me, I'm afraid, from Rome on a donkey would have taken 1.5 months, 3 months round trip. They should have caught Ryanair, shouldn't they? It would have been much quicker. Sometimes it is. A trip to Jerusalem would therefore have been expensive to do, with travel and accommodation costs to pay. And I was trying to think of something comparable. And I thought, and I know it's a few years ago now, of the London Olympics. When people came to the London Olympics from around the world, that would have been an expensive deal to have done. Probably more topical at the moment, the Rugby Union World Cup in France. And if you look at all the nations represented there, and you look at the supporters from all the nations, you know, even from Namibia and from, oh, I was trying to think, well, I don't know, Fiji, Samoa, all those ones, that must be costing them an awful lot of money to come over to France for that. An expensive business. But like in London, we know from experience that when demand for accommodation exceeds supply and the price goes up, so I bet in France at the moment it's expensive to get an accommodation somewhere near one of those rugby union stadiums. And I'm sure it happened as well in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. We can be fairly certain then that a substantial number of those 5,000 converts in chapter 4, verse 4, would have been reasonably well off to have been able to afford to be there in the first place. But anyone, whether they're rich or they're poor, can come to Jesus. Doesn't mean if they're an affluent traveller or a crippled beggar. They can all accept the Holy Spirit into their lives. Just over 7 weeks before the events that we've been looking at, the disciples had not been able or willing to stand up for Jesus. Peter himself had denied Jesus 3 times in the courtyard of the high priest. Peter could not have done what he did in Acts 2 without being equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty in Zechariah 4, verse 6. An ordinary person able to do extraordinary things because the Spirit of God was at work in his life. Having been filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter became a great orator. And it was following his speech, starting in Acts chapter 2, verse 14, that the 3,000 were converted. The healing and conversion of the crippled beggar then gave Peter another opportunity. And it was following this Holy Spirit-inspired oration that a further 2,000 were converted. Anyone can be changed by the Holy Spirit. Peter, a crippled beggar, 5,000 men. But that was then, and this is now. And the Holy Spirit is still at work. Praise the Lord. And we hear about marvelous conversion testimonies where the Lord's work through his word, placed or presented through the Gideon or Good News ministry. And that's where we're going to get the last 4 of our 5,005 conversions. The Gideons went into a school in Argentina to give the young people a copy of God's word. It would have been a Spanish one, like this. And they gave them out to the young people. One of the lads walked away, said, "I don't want this." And he threw it up onto the roof of the school. The Gideons weren't very pleased, but there was nothing they could do. They went out, came back the following week because they'd missed some classes that were out on a field trip. And as they walked into the door of the, and through the gate of the school, a guy came running towards them and he said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you so much for saving my life last week." And they didn't really know what they'd done. So he explained to them, he said, "I'm the school caretaker." And he said, "Last week I was working up on the roof of the school." And he said, "You threw this little testament up to me." And he said, "I've got so many problems in my life that I picked this up and I opened it and I read it using the first aid kit in the front that Jane was talking about earlier, because there's one of those even in a Spanish one. And, well, I assume it is, not that I can read Spanish, but it's in the right place." And so he came to know Jesus. Praise the Lord. The Gideons in Pakistan received a letter from a man in prison. And the man said, "I would like a Bible, please. Can you send one to me in prison?" He said, "But there is a complication, because I'm a Muslim. And if the guards will not let me have a Bible. If you send it to the front desk, they won't let me have it." So he said, "I've got a friend who's a Hindu outside the prison. Can you send that Bible to that Hindu, please? And then he'll bring it into me." So they thought, this is a little odd, but you know what we're like. If somebody wants a Bible, we'll give them one. And so they sent the Bible off. A few months later, they had another letter from the prison. And it was the Muslim, again, he was saying, "Thank you so much for that Bible. He said, but there's 12 of us in the cell. He said, and we're having to share that Bible. So we've only got it 2 hours each day for each of us. Could you send some more Bibles, please? But please send them to the Hindu and he'll bring them in to the prison. And they did it, obviously. And he, several months later, they had another letter from the jail and from the man in the jail. And he said, thank you so much for that. He said, I've become a Christian through having read the Bible. Praise the Lord for that. Take you to Atlanta in Georgia. Now, I've never been there, but I'm told that when it rains, it pours down with rain. Absolutely, absolutely pours down with rain. And the Gideons had been giving out testaments a little bit like this at school over there in the US of A. And again, one young lad had taken it and he really didn't want it. So he was walking home and he threw it up onto the roof of the... you see, I do this in schools. I say to them, don't do this. I say, don't throw the testament I'm giving you up onto the roof on the way home. So, just anyway. He threw it up, and then it started to rain, and it started to rain, and it poured and poured and poured and poured and poured. And the guy who was in the flat underneath the flat roof where this had landed, water started pouring in. Water started pouring in. So he climbed up on top of his roof, and he found this soggy mess stuck in the pipe on the roof. It was the testament had just got lodged in there. And he took it down and he put it on his boiler and dried it off. And he dried it off and he opened it and he read it. And you're probably there before me. Praise the Lord, he came to know Jesus as well. And my final one is about a man who booked into a hotel in London. And he booked in and he looked around for something to do and there's nothing on the television. What's new? And there was only a telephone directory and a Bible. So praise the Lord, he picked up the Bible. And when he opened it, there's always a blank page near the front. And it wasn't blank in the Bible that he picked up. It had handwriting on it. And he recognized the handwriting. And the handwriting was his father's handwriting. And so he read the handwriting, obviously, seeing as it was from his father. And his father said, I've booked into this bedroom tonight to take my life. But I have picked up this Bible and I have found God and Jesus in the pages of it. And so I am writing here what's happened to me today. And I'm leaving this in case anybody else comes along with problems, that they can read it and know what's happened. The son was suffering from depression as well. Presumably it ran in the family. And he thought, if this book is good enough for my father, then I can read it as well. And so he opened it and, praise the Lord, he came to know Jesus as his personal saviour. One Bible in a hotel bedroom. Two people that we know of saved for the Lord. Amazing. But do you know what links these four testimonies? There's no one there to lead the people to the Lord. On the roof of the school, in the prison cell, and the roof of in Atlanta, and the man in the hotel bedroom. As we read in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 6 and 7, I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he no plants, nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The Holy Spirit that came upon the apostles in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago is still at work today. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.